Hello and welcome to RTÉ Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Nic Cormick. In this episode, we'll be hearing from four of the musicians commissioned by the programme to write a new tune for our Faoiseamh project. Mairéadh Ní Mhaoiní, Tommy Fitzharris, Emer Mayoch and Brian O'Leary all fill us in on the background to their new compositions.
I think I was writing music since I was very young, you know. It's something that was always installed on us to, you know, create and, you know, when you're given something to work from it and build from it as well. Both my parents were very, very encouraging when I started off, and my father always said, sure, chin hain, the tune hain, you know. I guess It was always part of the music, the creating of the music. When we listen to some of the tunes that we're playing nowadays, like some of them were only, you know, composed this last 20 years. And we kind of tend to forget that. They are, like, a lot of them are very, very old. But a lot of these tunes have been composed by the likes of Brendan McGlinchey or Charlie Lennon or, you know, Reavy or any of the big names that are, and, you know, you have Paddy Fahey of East Galway. You know, we're playing a lot of those tunes, and which shows that it's a very vibrant tradition.
And say, when you go composing a tune now, is there a process? I mean, do you have a system?
Well, there's no system at all in my head. But I suppose, I was chatting to a friend the other day, and I suppose the best process is to have a sprickle, or to have a time to have it done by, because there are so many options. And also sometimes you go blank. For instance, at the beginning of the lockdown, I actually couldn't play a note, and my great friend Liz Carroll sent me a beautiful tune that she had just composed, and I couldn't believe that she was able to compose during the lockdown. But that kind of encouraged me, and I started then playing, and realised that it could be a very contemplative time to start composing.
Well, speaking of the commissions, when we commissioned these tunes, I suppose the idea was to gather some musical reflections, really, on the times that we were going through and the time that we're still going through. And how do you feel about these past few months? I mean, how have they been for you personally?
Well, as I told you, the beginning of the lockdown was quite traumatic for me. I couldn't play a note. I didn't touch the fiddle. I couldn't sing, which is quite strange because I'm always going around the house kind of singing to myself. But it was very strange, and I think it affected people in different ways. A lot of musicians just went blank, just could not play. And I still know a few who haven't touched their instruments, which shows the deep effect it had on that part of the psyche that we all hold, you know. I suppose music comes from joy as well, and there wasn't much joy to know that this thing was, we didn't really know what was going to happen. And, you know, but it's also a time that I realised it was a lovely time to be at home with my daughter, who is a teenager, which I think I'll never get again. And also that I was able to start playing my music and not have any interruptions, which was great. And in one way, I know it's been a very sad time and a great loss to a lot of people, but I actually enjoyed being home, not having to travel, and actually breathing again, you know.
On a practical level, though, for you as a working musician, both as a solo performer and with Alton, touring was a massive part of what you did, you know, touring and gigs and everything. Do you, or how and when do you see all that resuming?
Yes, well, you know, that's part of the part of the problem is that I am a professional musician, and that is my livelihood. I was very happy that the government brought in the COVID-19 social welfare payment, weekly payment. That has really helped people like myself who haven't any work until next year. Like my next concert, well, we might be going to Austria in November. Not sure of that. The next sure concert is, I think, the 28th of January at the Temple Bar Tradfest, if that goes ahead, which I hope it will. And then we head off to America in March, April. So that is my next time of actually working. So it's been, I've been very, very lucky that I got the Culture Ireland performance. I did the performance for Culture Ireland and for the Department of Culture, Heritage and the Gaeltacht and Facebook. And that was all these little schemes are very helpful for musicians who are depending on their music. I also started a lockdown fiddle lesson, and I'm very happy that people have subscribed to it, and I have people from all over the world learning Donegal tunes that I learned when I was a child. So I'm very happy about that as well. But everything is just a struggle. You know, you have to make ends meet. I feel the arts have really suffered through this, but people have become very creative as well, which is very good. But it's not an easy time for artists in the whole.
No, it certainly hasn't, and hopefully it'll get better sooner rather than later. But going back to the tune, because you've written two lovely tunes for us here on The Rolling Wave, we're chuffed to have them. So tell me about the tunes that you've written for the programme.
Well, I was actually composing a slow reel for you and realised that I liked the melody of it, and I transposed that into the slow air that went before it. So it's really part of the same tune. So that's why I put the two together, because I don't know how it came, but it just got together very quickly in the end. And it was coming near Gurianstad an Sauri, which is the summer solstice or Midsummer's Night. And I decided to call the first one an Gurianstad, which means the halting sun. And I named the reel the hunt. The Halting Sun.
So there are the two parts of the pair.
Yes, they're two parts of one.
I suppose it was my brother, my older brother Ray, who plays fiddle himself, who kind of introduced me to composition, really. It was probably when I was about 15 or 16, Aoife, and he had began part of a tune. He had the first part of a reel composed, and he kind of didn't really know where to go with it after that. So I thought it was a lovely, you know, lovely tune. So, you know, I just, once he played the first part, automatically there was a, it was a second part and subsequently a third part there in my own head. So it was a kind of a collaboration, really. So that's where, that would have been the first tune I ever composed, which turned out to be a three-part reel. Yeah.
start with the easy ones, Tommy.
Yeah. I know. I haven't played it since, mind you. I don't know if I'd remember it now, but I'm sure he does.
And tell me, when you were growing up, would you have been aware of, you know, playing tunes? You know, would you have been aware of where the tunes came from, or, you know, that people had written tunes, or, you know, say Brendan McGlinchey or Paddy Fahey or Charlie Lennon or any of these people? Would you have known their tunes and played them?
I mean, I was lucky enough to be born into a musical household. I mean, my dad is a fanatical traditional music lover, and he played fiddle himself, so he would have introduced me, you know, to all the old records of the Denon from the 70s, and there was also a great man from Stradbally, where I come from in County Leash. His name was Tom Ahern. He played with the Bridge Cayley band, so he was always learning new tunes. So yeah, I was aware of composers and you know the composers of the time, as you say, Brendan McGlinchey and Charlie Lennon and the Dwyer brothers and you know, I would have been aware back then in my teens, I suppose, yeah. And obviously the traditional tunes then I would have just picked up from sessions or whatever.
I mean, you told us about your first tune, but when it comes to writing tunes now, what's your approach or how do you go about it?
Well, yeah, I take a similar approach to the first tune I ever wrote, really. Aoife, I generally just have to get, you know, if I get, you know, two bars of a tune in my head, it's almost like a jigsaw that just hasn't been kind of completed before, but you know, all the subsequent phrases and parts should fit. I mean, maybe that's stating the obvious, but that's how I picture it in my head. You know, I just if I get one phrase that catches my ear. Also, I mean, I find what helps me when I'm composing, if I haven't been part of, you know, a great many sessions, it means you're kind of you can be more absent-minded when it comes to composition, and I find that helps because you don't have millions of phrases from other tunes going around in your head, you know. And normally, I try to get a session in once a week, and you know, that could be 3 or 4 hours long. So you can imagine how many tunes you'd play in that scenario. So yeah, I find when my head is clear, I can think of a phrase easier.
And the tunes that you write, are they always instrument specific? Like, are they written on an instrument, thinking about another, you know, thinking about it being played on that instrument?
Yes, there would be. In fact, this particular tune, this hornpipe that I've composed, I composed it really on three instruments. I began on the flute. Really, the first part of the tune, I composed on the flute, and the second part, I kind of got the idea by changing the key. I wrote it in A minor, and then in the second part of the tune, I played the concertina on it, and then in the third part, I used the fiddle, you know. So I don't know. Every tune is different for me. I didn't think it out too much, but it's a kind of an interesting hybrid then the tune. So you can hear in the third part, it should go down to the G string on the fiddle, if you know what I mean. And when I've played it on the flute.
We're going to hear that hornpipe in a minute. But first of all, the tunes, you know, were written when people couldn't be out and about, and you know, not that anybody's out and about too much at the moment yet, but you know, when really we weren't allowed to kind of go very far. What was that experience like for you?
It was an interesting time. I mean, as I said, I'm teaching music a lot at the minute, Aoife, and you know, more often than not, I'm on the road or in the car, traveling somewhere. So it was nice to be able to sit back and give the mind some space and play some music for the sake of playing music, you know, in an artistic sense. And yeah, it was nice to have that time. I mean, personally, I was supposed to, myself and my fiancée Carrie were supposed to be married during the whole thing back in June there. So that will have to be put back, that we put that back another year. So yeah, but of course all that stuff pales kind of in comparison to the frontline workers and what they've been going through, and you know, you have to keep things in perspective too. So it's in a way it's been great to be able to be in a position to play music and explore music and compose music, you know.
Okay, well, would you introduce this tune for us now, this hornpipe that you wrote for the program?
The title of this tune is Give Her the Rest She's Earned. And I suppose in the title, I mean, in my own head, I tried to personify the music and how it has earned itself a much needed rest, I suppose, you know, of late and of the last, you know, 50, 60 years. The music has been, you know, played all over the world and in so many different countries. And if you think of the music itself, it's been very busy. So I just thought about the music in the sense that it made me smile to imagine the music itself at rest in people's houses and in their own imaginations. So that's why I called it Give Her the Rest She's Earned.
Thank you.
I didn't set out really to write any particular type of tune, and I was playing around with tunes on the pipes and the flute kind of intermittently, and I landed on this sort of theme, which started actually as being played on the regulators on the pipes, and then I moved it on to the flute, and it was just a very simple melody that I developed then on the flute. I know that since the lockdown, I've been listening to a lot of more music, actually. But I might point to the fact, I suppose, that I was listening to a lot of Shanos singing and recordings of singers. So I was kind of in slow mode a little bit. So that might have had an influence on why the slowness of an air came to me.
It's interesting that you say about the Shanos, because the melody that you've written, it's very much, you know, as I say, sort of following the line as the Shanos song does, as opposed to just having the very neat block of phrases, you know, like it's following the line of the sentence without words in this case.
Yeah, there's no words as such. But I suppose what I was interested in structurally is that I hadn't really managed to write an air in completion before. And I had to correct myself on that, because then I realised there was one on one of my records on Playground. And that's the short one verse air, if you know what I mean. And I've always really liked airs that develop into two parts or into a couple of parts. So I was trying to extend the ideas a little bit. So I suppose it came that's how it came to be. I think mostly kind of like an air with three distinctive melodic ideas in it, you know. In this particular case, I've been playing a lot of pipes, so I was really looking at the pipes in terms of, and because I was going to record this on my own and all of that, I was thinking of the pipes and the drones and the regulators, and that's how I started writing and playing just simple melodies actually on the regulators, and accompanying on the chanter kind of the other way around from normal. But I usually set out with the tin whistle when I'm writing music. So the whistle, I find, is a wonderful kind of carrier of ideas for me. I just can translate what may have been developing in my mind melodically onto the whistle, and then I take it elsewhere after that.
Some of the musicians I've spoken to found it very difficult to do anything kind of creative in the early stages of this time. Was that your experience?
Well, after the initial kind of flurry of, you know, activity around how do we do this and so we're all staying at home now, okay, and there's no school, okay, and we can't go anywhere, okay. A silence descended, very much so, in the village where we live. And it really was, it's pretty quiet here normally, but it was really palpable. And I began to very much notice the silence. And it was very much like when I was growing up here in Mayo, because you could literally play football on the road. And it felt like that again. And there was something eerie, but very nice about that too. And it was also the beginning of nature becoming very obvious in its waking up. So there were no leaves on the trees when the lockdown started. And we watched as that kind of developed in front of our eyes. So that was very beautiful. Notwithstanding the fact that obviously there was a lot of people suffering all around the country, all around the world. And in fact, the title of the tune celebrates the thrush. And we did see a very busy thrush one morning, and she did build her nest and she did have her children and she did hatch the eggs and feed them and look after them. And I found that very inspiring, you know, that was nature was continuing and that everything was, you know, continuing to blossom.
Thank you. Yeah, so I suppose composing is only something I've really delved into in the past 18 months or so. You know, I'd never sit down with the intention of composing. I just prefer for the music to float into my head naturally. So I suppose what I find is that I prefer composing without an instrument on me, so I could be out for a walk locally and just get some bit of, you know, inspiration, and then the tune will float into my head and just kind of fall from the sky. And I think they're the best tunes usually. I suppose you've endless possibilities when you allow your mind to decide where the tune goes. You know, whereas with the instrument, I would find that I'd probably end up, you know, composing something that's too similar to, you know, a tune that might be already in existence. Yeah, I suppose without a doubt, there's, you know, it's a challenge to try and compose music that you feel, you know, will be true to your own identity and true to your own regional style. And of course, my regional style is Sliabh Lucra, and I'm very much aware that, you know, even with the connection with my grandfather, Johnny O'Leary, people will probably expect a certain type of music from me. So that is in my mind when I'm composing. You know, I do think that we take polkas, because I suppose polkas and slides are synonymous with Sliabh Lucra. So take them two tune types. I'd be lying if I said that, you know, my grandfather Johnny's music wasn't kind of ringing in my head when I was trying to compose, when I was composing them kind of tunes, because I think that's just in me, you know, and it comes naturally. And I do kind of, I would like to think that some of my compositions are a tribute to him, and, you know, that there's a link and that the music kind of fits well in the existing tradition. I suppose that's what we all hope for. Well, at least I do anyway. I do like to compose music that, you know, fits well, and you know, the best compliment you can get with a composition really is for someone to think that it's a tune that's already been out there, and that, you know, they might think that it was played by Johnny or Paddy Cronin or Dennis Murphy or Padraig Keefe and so on. You know, that's the best compliment you can get.
You've written some lovely tunes for the Rolling Wave, and we're going to hear them now. And we've also written A Gorgeous Waltz, but you'd written that already, but during the lockdown. So tell me maybe about the waltz first, and then about the polkas.
Yeah, so I suppose the waltz was very much written when I was in reflective mode. Yeah, I was just having one of those days, really, and I was just, you know, thinking a lot about the coronavirus and just the impact and sheer devastation it was causing. And yeah, my heart just really went out to all those who lost their lives, and, you know, the families that had to carry the grief of losing their loved ones in such a kind of cruel and unforgiving way. And I also wanted a piece of music to acknowledge the huge sacrifice and contribution of those working on the front line who helped to save so many lives. And the title of the tune, I'll Meet You on a Day That Never Ends, I'd like to think it's a title of hope. You know, for those working on the front line who are away from their families for so long, it's an optimistic look to the future, you know, that everything will be okay on the special day that they can reconnect physically with their family. And then I would say it's also quite a spiritual title, because, you know, going back to my own musical journey, I would say that's been almost like a spiritual trip, because I only started playing music a week after my grandfather's passing, you know. So, yeah, I suppose I'm a big believer that somewhere down the line we'll all meet up again. With regards to the polkas then, so the title of the first polka is called the Balnahulla Butterfly. Balnahulla is a neighbouring townland of mine, and it's on the Kerry side of Ballydesmond. And I would have walked to Balnahulla most days. And one particular day I was at Balnahulla Bridge, just staring down into the gentle flowing stream below. And this butterfly flew down along the water, and its colours were green, white and orange, the tricolour. And yeah, I just thought it was amazing. And the second polka I decided to name Tranquility in Tuirincahill. Tuirincahill is my own townland where I was born and reared. It's in the parish of Guineaguilla, County Kerry. So yeah, I just felt I would have to, you know, pay tribute to my own townland, Tuirincahill. Because for me, there's no place like it in the whole wide world.
Thanks for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music here is shorter than in the radio broadcasts. If you'd like to hear the full versions of the tunes, you can go to rte.ie/radio1/The Rolling Wave. And all 10 compositions were broadcast on the programme on Sunday, November the 8th. Till the next time, Gura Míle Maggie, agus slán.